How many downloads of Jim and Bill It's Another Day podcast?
Today, the podcast show has fetched 400 million downloads since its start, and an average of 350,000 downloads per episode, about 3.9 million downloads per week.
Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Deitz. So here we are, second day of the week. This week seems to be moving a little slower than we had last week. But the good news is for Californians, Trump has done the executive order that sat there and did the emergency act to send in the water. So,
but what's interesting about that is there's an update, and now California is saying, well, no, nothing has changed. Ignore that. We are doing exactly what we did before. They're coming in. Well, I think they said they're coming in. They fixed some federal pumps or something like that. They kind of tried to poo-poo it, like what Trump was doing was not all that big a deal, you know. But I think they're just kind of embarrassed. I know that the mayor of Los Angeles was put in her place at a town hall a couple of nights ago. You know.
Yeah. Well, she was saying, oh, yeah, people can clean up their own yards and stuff, because Trump was saying, look, you know, waiting for the feds to come in, or not the feds, but, you know, whoever to come in and clean things up could take weeks, months, years.
Well, they said, well, how long is it going to take? And she said, well, no, I think they can get back into their house in about a week. And Trump said, that's too long. A week is too long.
Well, because she had them blocked off from going. Their houses are burned down. It's just they could sweep it up with a broom.
Yeah.
You know, and she had them blocked from going in. I guess she opened up Palisades now, so, or something like that. And, you know, like she's doing a great thing after she was embarrassed. But, you know, Democrats are good at taking their bad and turning it around and make it.
I don't know how you're going to turn around the devastation that has happened in Southern California. I mean, a whole swath, and I don't think, Bill, it's over. I think there are still fires popping up, and they're just not talking about them. It's like,
didn't they get some torrential rains?
Yes, over the weekend they did. I think they even mentioned the problem of mudslides in certain areas.
Yeah.
But you know, does a weekend worth of rain stop the, you know, the potential for forest fires, or is that just in one area?
You know, you can get torrential rains anywhere unless it, you know, it really floods. The ground dries up pretty quick.
And, yeah, it does.
When you got heavy forestation, it can still be a little bit moist and burn.
What I don't get, Bill, and I heard somebody say this yesterday on one of the shows, and you and I had talked about this, but that area is right on the coast. That is on the ocean. It's not like it's an inland state. You know, it's not like we're talking about Utah or Nevada. We're talking about California. And literally, that property that burned to the ground overlooks the ocean. And what the people can't figure out, and I can't either, is why there aren't desalination systems in, and why they aren't pumping water from the ocean to that area. You know, what's the problem, California? Well, you have a whole west coast of California is ocean. You would think that they would figure out that they could put in these, you know, desalination plants where they take the salt out of the water and the impurities out of the water, and you know, you have fresh water right down the street, but. I don't know what it is, Bill.
What do you think they do in ships? You know, when these guys are out at sea for a long, long time, they take the ocean water, they desalinate it.
Yeah.
And they use it for bathing, drinking, cooking, everything.
Yeah. No. And, Bill, I think in some parts, there are some plants like that on the coast in certain areas of California, but they should have them up and down the coast. They may say, well they'll be eyesores. They'll take away from the aesthetic beauty. No. You can make them probably smaller and less obtrusive. You don't have to have these ugly-looking facilities. Make them look attractive. Make them fit into the community. And all of a sudden, you got a problem solved. But that's not how these politicians work, Bill. You know what they do? They go for the lowest bid. The lowest bid. Usually the lowest bid is the least creative bid. It's like, okay, we'll give it to you for this amount of money, but instead of having an ornate building, it'll be cinder block. You know, instead of it having something to look at that is aesthetically pleasing, we'll make it look like a jail cell. That's the way the government works, you know. Mm.
It's kind of like if you want to see, the lowest bidder at work firsthand, drive through the state of Pennsylvania. Our road system to the lowest bidder. And, you know, you could sit there and just say, yeah, they just redid the road. And there are still new, fresh potholes.
Yep.
Because they didn't do it right. They did it cheap. And a lot of these jobs to bidders, it becomes a family lifelong project. Well, I'm getting ready to retire, but my son's taking over. Yeah. And he's got a kid that's coming of age. And, we're a happy family here. We we do the roads in Pennsylvania. Well, yeah. You don't do a good job.
They have been tearing up the roads in PA. I moved to Pennsylvania in 1981. So mm-hmm. that's what? That's 43 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I've never been on the PA Turnpike where the road isn't being worked on. You know, it has never been a smooth conveyance. No. It has always been somebody's digging something up somewhere.
Look, I was thinking about putting in a bid on a three-bedroom pothole.
I think you'd probably do well.
Yeah, because it's big enough. I mean, yeah, there's plenty of room. You know, I could put a game room in there and everything.
Well, you know what's funny, Bill? They may say, well,
park the car in it.
The PA Turnpike's a long highway, you know, and it's an old highway. It goes from border to border. It's amazing. And my answer to them is, have you been on the New York Thruway? Because the New York Thruway is a much smoother, well-maintained. And by the way, they have mm-hmm. colder weather up there, too. They have more snow and ice up there than they do down here. The New York Thruway, the last time I was on it, was not bad. I mean, it has its moments, but for the most part, it's pretty good. I don't get it, Bill. I think it's all about the buck, all about the dollar.
It's always about the money. But, you know, back to the California thing and the water thing. Now, it was my understanding the military has gone in, and they opened up the water gates from, you know, the Great Northwest up there, and, that water coming down. So if you're saying now California's going... Oh, no. We've got it all solved ourselves.
Here's the update to that story. Update. The California Department of Water Resources has denied that the military entered California. The federal government restarted federal water pumps after they were offline for maintenance for 3 days. State water supplies in Southern California remain plentiful, the agency said on X. That's an update to that story. Yeah, go ahead.
Here's the problem. They had them offline for 3 days. All right, the fires have been going for 3 weeks, and there was no water before the 3 days. Oh, I see. They were broken during that whole time, and they just now did the maintenance on them?
Yeah, well, you know.
Either way, you're an idiot and a liar.
Well, I mean, if you've learned anything from these fires, is that the state is run by a bunch of fools. Hmm. I mean, I'm from the governor on down, the governor, the mayor, these people are numbskulls. I mean, you wouldn't want to sit down and have an intelligent—well, you couldn't have an intelligent conversation with them. What they're good at is thinking around you. They're not good at talking to you. They're good at trying to make themselves look better than they actually are. You know,
Democrats want to derail Trump and anything conservative. Any conservative issue for 4 years. They think they're going to regroup, that nobody wants what they voted for, and they think that the Democrats are going to come back bigger and stronger than ever. That's their true belief. So it is their duty, their mission to sit there and disrupt and get in the way of any conservative progress.
I feel bad for Californians. I do. I don't know how you voted for this guy, Newsom. I don't know how you did it. He goes down there. He's standing amidst the smoldering ruins of the community, and he's more concerned with that his hair's in place, that he's wearing the right clothes, that he's presenting the right image. than actually fixing the problem. And the difference is, by the way, when you see Trump come into town, he sits behind a table with a bunch of people, most of them, by the way, who didn't vote for him, most of them who don't like him and have said so publicly, and he confronts them. He just, this is what you get. You know, he's more concerned with the problem. And when he's sitting at the table, he's not wearing his suit. He's got a hat on and a jacket, and he's got his sleeves rolled up, and he's doing the job. Whereas Newsom, my God, I cannot believe that he would ever, how can any of the people on the left be talking about him as a presidential contender? If that's the case, yeah, but if that's the case, then all you care about is appearance. You don't care about substance.
Well, the left believe they control the media, and they do, and the media is suffering. They're suffering badly, but, you know, you hear about all the media ratings are down in the toilet. You hear that they're not making money, but yet they go on, and yet they continue their diatribe, and yet, you know, the left feeds the media everything they want them to disseminate, and apparently, you know, the American public, because that's what we've been trained to do. And see, something doesn't add up. If we are to believe what they say, these guys should be making enormous money, have enormous ratings, and Trump should have never been elected, because the will of the public, you know, what happened in the election obviously defies what they say is the will of the people.
Yeah. Well, we are at a fork in the road. They're talking already. Can you believe this? We're the second week into the Trump presidency, and already this story is coming about the Dream Team Democratic candidacy for the presidency in 28. And apparently never Trumpers, these are Republicans, mind you, are predicting that the Democrats are poised for a big comeback in 2028. Right. Where are they poised for a big comeback? Trump has never had a higher approval rating than he does right now. Everybody's looking at J.D. Vance and saying, my God, this guy's getting smarter by the day. You know,
he is smarter by the day. He's a smart guy. But the one thing that you cannot do is dismiss them. Is, you know, we can't sit there and rest on our laurels. We have to sit there and stay vigilant and strong. One of the things you have to do is learn how to out-talk a Democrat. That's one thing Democrats can do. They can have two Democrats in a room, and you got 100 Republicans. Those two Democrats, you know, they won't shut up. They won't stop to take a breath. They will keep going no matter what you do. I look at the, Adam Schiff when he was sitting there going through his diatribe of Senate questions, and he just wouldn't shut up, and she kept... Everything kept being thrown in his face, and he wouldn't stop. He just kept going. He didn't care. He just wanted to sit there and say, well, I guess that's not an answer. Okay, well, let's move on. I'll give you a simple question. Here's a simple one for you, Adam. Shut up.
Yeah, well, he is a rude and, might I say, dishonest man, okay? And I think you're gonna see this soon. You're going to see that. You're starting to see it bubble right now. The Trump administration is removing a lot of the deep state lawyers, for example. You know that the team of lawyers that were trying to bring Trump down in the Justice Department?
They got fired.
I think about 12 of them got their pink slip yesterday. Goodbye. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. You're out of here, you know?
But see, the media will jump on that. What's left of the media, because as long as we give them a bullhorn of any sort, they will be sitting there crying. Because if they can peel away one conservative at a time, that's how they look at it, one at a time. But they'll keep the volume up.
What's Trump doing right now? He is doing executive order after executive order. He's doing something major every day, and the media can't keep up. And if he keeps going at this pace, they're just not going to be able to follow him the way he did in the first term. In the first term, they had a chance to put more arrows in their quill. They had more chances to take aim at Trump because Trump was pausing between stuff. This time out, there's no catching your breath. he's doing something on a daily basis. And truly, the media doesn't know what to make of him. It's like he has more energy now than he did 4 years ago. You know what he said yesterday? He said, and he drove the left nuts. He said, I think I only have 4 more years, although I could have 8. I don't know. Maybe we could have 8. He just threw it out there. And, of course, the media is going, my God, he's going to be president for 8 years? How is he going to do that? So I'm sure they'll be talking about that.
Well, there's still there's the investigations and the evidence coming out that maybe, I know you're going to hate this on the left, but maybe, just maybe, there was something wrong with the 2020 election, that it was stolen.
Well, there's a lot of people, including yours truly, who thinks it was stolen.
I believe it was stolen, too.
For those 4 years that Biden was in office, they almost made it, they didn't make it, but they almost made it illegal to even talk about it, you know, verbally, to say it out loud. They almost made it sound like you were nuts. You were nuts to say that it was stolen. It was almost against the law under the Biden administration to talk that way. But now there's a new sheriff in town. People are starting to talk about it.
Well, to some degree, it was kind of illegal. Because even Schiff, when he was doing his thing, can you tell me right now that you will accept that January? Because if they sit there and say that you said, oh, yeah, I agree. Well, it's a possibility. That's all they need you to do. Because right now, they need to distance themselves from January 6th and nail that lid shut. But the boogeyman inside of it, they're bad, is trying to get out of there because they stole the election.
Well, I think that you're going to hear more and more talk about the elections, about the legitimacy of the 2020 elections. Mm-hmm. There's a case out there that is, believe it or not, it's still rumbling around in the background, and people don't talk about it at all.
Is that the Brunson brothers?
The Brunson brothers, and it's still bouncing around in the background. And it hasn't totally been dismissed. It hasn't been summarily dismissed. It's like it's still bubbling under. And I think it's gaining more traction now that Trump's in office. So,
well, could it be that, you know, it's not that the case doesn't have legs and wings to fly. It does, but it has to fly and walk at a time when people are open to receiving it and taking an honest look at it.
Yeah.
We were not at that juncture. You know, the Democrats, and I don't like to go us and them, but let's just be honest, in this particular case, it is an us and them. And they were going, okay, we stole this thing because they put together a stealing machine. And they haven't dismantled that machine, by the way. They're just trying to figure out, okay, it didn't work this time. What do we have to tinker with to get it running again? That's all what they're doing. And it's a voting eating machine or a harvesting machine.
Okay, I got a question for you. Let's say hypothetically, and we're taking a big leap here, but let's say hypothetically, they come to the conclusion that, yes, it was stolen. It wasn't a fair election in 2020, that there were discrepancies. And let's say they say that in reality it was an illegitimate election. What does it say about all of the laws that were passed, all of the decisions that were made in that illegitimate election administration?
Well, I would think that they're all moot, but they would not look at it that way because they'll say, well, hey, even if you sat there and came in with the smoking gun and said it was stolen.
Right.
You know, the Democrats will never, ever admit it. If somebody goes woke and says, okay, I give, uncle, yeah, we stole it, their tire will blow out when they're driving 120 miles an hour on the freeway and they'll hit a barrier, or blue ice will fall from the sky and hit them on the head. Something will happen to them, you know, are silenced.
If the Supreme Court says we've determined based upon evidence that the Brunson case has merit and that we've decided that it was an illegitimate election. I'm really doing a big step here. Mm-hmm. Now what happens? you know, all of a sudden does Trump become, is he
He's already
in
president.
His third term?
I mean, the Democrats would say, okay, well, that means that he's already run his course, and so he's no longer, you know, they would sit there and they would try to
They would
to
have
use
a constitutional
that.
Crisis.
Yeah.
They would have a situation where technically Trump was president from 20 to 24, even mm-hmm. though he wasn't able to serve, he was held back from serving, and now he won a third term, and in the Constitution, you can't have three terms.
Right. So what would they do?
They would have to null and void 2020. It would be as if 2020 didn't happen and that we never had an administration. I guess.
Yeah, and then that means everything is illegitimate. See, that, and, you know, maybe they could erase their bad that way. I don't know. That it would be a nightmare. And but you know what? If it could cause chaos and it could cause confusion, to where they could sit there and somehow it would end up on the doorstep of conservatives, because they would take it, repackage it, and say, well, it's actually their fault.
Oh, yeah. it's true. They do that a lot, don't they? They mm-hmm. do that all the time. Anyway, before we continue on, I think it's important to point out that we all right now could use a good cup of coffee. I think that we
a
have...
A pot of coffee.
Yeah, we could use... A big pot of coffee. You're saying, well, that's a great idea, Jim, but what kind of coffee? Might I suggest Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee? Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. You know where to find it? Bill, can you tell them where to find it?
Well, you can find it at our shop. It's rightsideshop.com. Now, you can also go to It's Another Day, and up at the top, there is a in the menu bar, the tab that says Right Side Shop. It's kind of obvious, and you
Very
just go
convenient.
To it, you can find the coffee, and you can find T-shirts and other swag there. So there's all kinds of cool stuff there, but the coffee, that's what gets you up and going in the morning. It's good for your heart. It's good for your mind.
Wait a
focus.
Second. For the people who might have missed a show or two, I'm sure they're going, wait, what did he say? Good for the heart? Coffee is good for the heart? Bill,
yes, it actually
can you explain
is good
that?
For the heart. Well, no, they've actually been doing studies for a while. And apparently, if you have between 4 a.m. and noon, believe
yes.
it or not, your body is kind of picky of when it really likes its coffee. And, you know, 2 to 4 cups of coffee is adequate. And what that does is it gives you good heart health. For whatever reason, the caffeine and everything works with the body at that time. It's when it's receptive. It also has been known, not for everybody 100%, but you get a... There's a 30% chance that of longevity. Well,
I love little tidbits like that. Usually, you find out later on that the research was done by the International Coffee Growers Association of America.
No, this yes. wasn't done by yes. them. But you know, well, heck, I used to think that you know
the coffee
caffeine,
bean growers.
I get a lot of caffeine. I drink soda pop all the time.
Yes,
you know, and my dad kept saying, "I don't drink soda pop." Well, why is that, Pop? Well, you know, and he tells the story of when he was, you know, in the service, and he had to catch a bus, and he had a Coke, and you know, he'd set it down on the bench, and I guess when he got up to get the bus, it knocked it over. But when he came back and got off, he saw, oh, I forgot about that. But the contents of the Coke had eaten through the paint and eaten into the wood. And he goes,
well, I used to hear the story about, believe it or not, they said, you know what's really good at taking rust off of metal? It's Coke.
Oh, that's true.
It's Coke, yeah.
Yeah. You could take that and... you know, a fine steel wool or something
yeah.
like that, and dip it in there and lightly go over it. It takes the rust right off.
Makes me thirsty just thinking about it.
Boy, yeah. Think of what it does to your insides. But Right Side Coffee won't do that. So
no.
Right Side Coffee will give your keister the kick that it needs in the
Wait,
morning to get up and get going.
Give your what?
Keister.
Okay. Speaking of keister, we have Juan Jose and the Border Crosses here to sing the jingle, guys.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee. They do that so well, you know. They've had
yes,
plenty
they
of
do. And by the way, I thought keister was much nicer than arse.
Yes, I think it was. Yes. I think arse is more diplomatic than the other way, but that's just Let's just leave
it at
that.
You know, actually, we've got a lot of arses.
In government, yeah.
Yes.
We do.
A bunch of them. We got a whole bunch of arses.
Hey, speaking of arses, you know, there was an actress singer out in L.A. Who made an arse of herself on, I guess it was on her Twitter account, on X.
Was that
Selena Gomez?
Ars Madonna?
No. This is Selena Gomez.
Her too. Yes. Well, there she's another one.
Well, I got to play this for you. Selena Gomez. Sure. Now, mind you, Selena Gomez was born in, I think, Dallas.
Yeah.
So she's American, but she talks about her people. Also, I want to remind you that she has about 400 million followers. And also, I want to remind you that she's worth $1 billion. And she's talking about, I wish there was something I could do. Well, Selena, you're worth $1 billion. You want to help those people out? I mean, give them first-class airfare back to their home country. That would be a big help. I mean, don't put them on cargo planes. Say, look, I will give you all a first-class airfare. You can fly the jet of your choice, and we'll send you home, and we'll give you a few bucks in your pocket. And that'll be from Selena Gomez. But no, they don't make suggestions like this. She put this posting on, and by the way, it was bad acting. If she was whimpering and blubbering, and oh, listen.
I just wanted to say that I'm so sorry. All my people are getting attacked. The children. I don't understand. I'm so sorry. I wish I could do something, but I can't. I don't know what to do. I'll try everything I promise.
Okay, so someone should sit her down and say, Selena, you're crying for rapists and child molesters and human traffickers and violent criminals. That's who you're crying for. Tom Holman.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you one question. Where did she get her money from? Wasn't she at Disney?
I don't remember. Yeah, see, you would have to watch that to be able to answer that.
Right.
And I never watched that. I didn't watch, I mean, my granddaughter could tell you more about Selena Gomez and her history, but...
Seems my history says that's part of her background. But you know what? She needs to get some acting classes because that was
It was pretty bad. Here's what Tom Homan said to Selena Gomez. He was on with Sandra Smith on Fox.
I don't know if you've had a chance to see a video that has been going viral over the past hour or so. We're still working to clear it and show it. In fact, the Hollywood celebrity who posted it has now deleted it. I think because probably she faced a lot of backlash for it, noting even the New York Times and Fox News polls show that a majority of American respondents are in favor of deportations of criminals and gang members. She posted a video sobbing. She was crying. In it, she said, all my people are getting attacked with the picture of a Mexican flag. Again, she has now taken that down. But what do you say to those who are out there saying that these are everyday people, these are families that are being attacked and dragged out of their homes? How do you respond to that?
I don't think we arrested any families. We've arrested public safety threats and national security threats, bottom line. And look, President Trump won the election on this one issue, securing our border and saving lives. This, what happened on our southern border last 4 years, is the biggest national security threat this country's seen, at least in my lifetime, because we got over 2 million known gotaways. We got a 600% increase in sex trafficking. We got a record number of terrorists crossing the border on terrorist watch lists. We have 250,000 Americans dying from fentanyl coming across the open border. We're going to do this job, and we're going to enforce the laws of this country. If they don't like it, then go to Congress and change the law. We're going to do this operational apology. We're going to make our community safer. We're going to save. Once we lock that border on continuous operation, you're going to see fentanyl deaths decrease, illegal alien crime decrease, sex trafficking decrease. It's just all for the good of this nation, and we're going to keep going. No apologies. We're moving forward.
No apologies. We're moving forward. He's not to be deterred by videos like Selena Gomez whimpering and blubbering into the camera. And, listen, you have to ask yourself, how impromptu was that video? Okay? I mean, she had to put the camera in place.
Mm-hmm.
She had to get her hair just right. She had to think about what she was going to say. And then she had to perform. which he did. And she whimpered and cried. Maybe, who knows, it may have practiced for an upcoming role in a movie. She whimpered and cried and blubbered. And then after she was done, right, she had to look at the videotape and say, oh, that's good. That's a good representation. That says what I wanted to say. And she had to press, you know, send. She had to post it. And
she took it down, though.
Yeah, but that was because I think, Bill,
backlash.
She got a ton of backlash, big time, from quote,
she probably
fans.
Wish she could go back to her early days of Barney's and Friend, or Barney and Friends, and whatever else she did for PBS and then Disney, you know, and what was Witches of Waverly. It was only because I, you know, had a granddaughter in the house and like, you know, so, well, oh, geez, here we go again.
Well, you know, I think there was a Hollywood agent who just yesterday said, hey, if we've learned anything from the 2024 election is that Hollywood celebrities have absolutely zero influence.
Yeah, they have no influence. Yeah,
this is an agent in Hollywood, a successful Hollywood agent who's saying, nah, they just haven't got any input. They used to think they had input and influence, but nah, nope.
Well, that's too bad. But you know what? The entire media doesn't have a lot of influence anymore. And people are learning that, you know, good people are learning that if they want to know the truth, they got to go find it themselves. Can't count on the media for it.
When I watch a performer, an entertainer, I just want to see him perform and entertain. I don't want to hear about their politics or their sex life. Or any of these other things. I just want to see them in the moment perform as best they can. And I wish them all the luck afterwards. But I don't want to hear about, I know a lot of people do, but I don't want to hear about whether they're gay or straight. I don't want to hear about whether they're Republican or Democrat. I don't want to hear about their personal, you know, preferences. I just want to see them get out on the stage and tap dance or whatever they do, you know. That's all I want.
I want to see them tap dance out of public opinion, out of our lives, because what they have to say, I mean, I guess they don't call it the liberal arts for nothing.
The wife of Alec Baldwin.
She lost her accent.
Yeah. Yeah. She apparently, you know, during that whole Rust situation in the movie Rust, where he discharged a weapon on set and it killed the camera person, a beautiful young lady with a whole future ahead of her, and she was a good camera person, and he, I guess, aimed the gun at the camera and bang, it killed the camera person. And he denied it, and by the way, he's kind of gotten off. He's kind of gotten it dismissed.
You gotta think about something with guns. When they do prop guns, well, it was it shot blanks. Okay, my 9mm could shoot blanks. Blanks are just a different type of bullet. That's all it is.
Listen, you fire a weapon with a blank in it at close enough range, and you can kill somebody.
Yeah, you can still, yeah, there could be something that discharges from it.
Well, what happened to Bruce Lee's kid? Bruce Lee's kid was on set making a movie. They fired, I think, a blank at him, and it hit him, and it killed him on set.
I believe that happened now, and I'm not exactly sure on this, but I know Red Skelton lost someone on, you know, on set with a...
You don't mess around with guns. You know the old adage? Always assume the gun is loaded. Always assume a gun is loaded. You know, there was a drummer for Chicago. No, I'm sorry, guitarist for Chicago, Terry Cab.
I played Russian roulette.
Yeah, this guy was one of the most talented musicians in Hollywood, in Los Angeles. He was terrific. I know he's from Chicago initially, but I mean, they all go out to L.A. He ended up in a game of Russian roulette. He shot himself. And he killed himself, and he was taken way too soon. This was a guy with so much talent, Terry Kath. And, I mean, you want to hear him? Listen to 25 or 64 or one of those songs, right? That's probably him on lead. I think it was him on lead. And I don't know. It just makes you think. people don't respect the danger they have when they're holding a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
At all times, even if you're a gun enthusiast, especially if you're a gun enthusiast, you never put your finger on the trigger. You never point it, even when you know it's empty, you never point it at anybody, ever.
He broke every rule. Plus, you know, he was the director, and on that set, they had an arms person that sat there and made sure that
armor,
they had blanks.
Yeah.
And but she had made mistakes before too, but he still was the director, and he still knew or should have known you pick up a gun.
Well, you know who got blamed, Bill? The 23-year-old armorer got blamed.
Well, she was partly at fault. Look, she was allowing the fact that they would take these guns between shoots or during downtime and say they had real ammunition on the set. They go, okay, take the blanks out. Let's go out and target shoot.
Right.
Well, that was a recipe for what happened. And he lied about, well, you know, the thing cocked itself and went off or whatever it was that he said. That was a bold-faced lie. He should have never picked up that gun without going, look, he's the one that also allowed the live ammo on the set. Mistake number one, you know, mistake number two was forgetting all about that and willy-nilly picking up that gun and going, okay, boom. And then, oh, my God, it must have been the gun's fault. No, sir, it was your fault. And, you know, you might have gotten away with it, and maybe your wife did some, you know, pretty good acting with the voice and everything and sympathy. It was your fault.
Well,
my opinion.
Now, going back to the original part of the story, Alec Baldwin's wife, her name is Hilaria Baldwin. And for the longest time, especially right after the incident, she appeared to have an accent. I don't know what the accent was. Was it Spanish?
I think so.
Well, she had an accent. Anyway, Hilaria is actually from Massachusetts. Why she would have an accent is beyond me, but I guess in a recent interview, she dropped the accent altogether. The accent is gone, but she had an accent. Again, maybe she didn't want to talk to the press, and she figured if she was from another country and she had an accent, she could feign, I don't understand English too good or something, just to stay away.
She's from where, though, really?
She's actually from Massachusetts. Yeah.
So she thought she was schmott.
Her name was Hillary Thomas, by the way.
Yeah, that with a name like that, you would have a foreign accent.
But she changed it to Hilaria.
Hilaria, yes. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Doesn't that sound like a disease you get down in South America and you get quinine for it, you know?
If you've seen Alec Baldwin's work, you know, you probably would catch a case of Hilaria.
Well, he is, he got off, and I don't get it, but I think there's probably a civil suit out there somewhere. Because the husband and the family have been definitely wronged, you know, losing a young woman like that who was in the prime of her career, just starting to, actually in the beginning of her career, you know, the cinematographer. You know, she comes over here from Russia, the cinematographer, and as a young student, and she learns goes through the whole process and grows in her field and it starts to build a whole life, and then that happens in a split second. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Other things going on, speaking of Russia, in case you haven't heard, there's still a war going on in the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
I know. You don't hear about these things, you think it's over, right? But no, it's still going on, and Russian forces conquered a large Donetsk stronghold yesterday, crumbling Ukrainian defenses, they put up a limited resistance. The Ukraine has got its problems. If they don't sit down and talk real soon, they're not going to have much of a bargaining chip. Do you know what I'm saying? You have to have something to bargain here. When you're running out of ammunition and you're running out of men, military age men, which is the truth, what do you bargain with? You know, and Russia's just going through these towns and taking over these villages. It doesn't make
At some point in time, Russia was, it doesn't, you know, we sit there and say, well, they don't have the equipment, they don't have this. The one thing they had were bodies, and Ukraine doesn't have that. So at some point in time, they were going to win by the sheer number count, you know, of the bodies, that they could withstand the loss of life, whereas the Ukraine can't. And without the Biden help anymore of saying, yeah, we'll bleed money in and we'll give you our stuff, that stopped.
And I guess the Ukraine has said that they're going to expand the age now. They were looking for men of a certain age to be drafted. Well, they're running out of them. So now they've widened that the brackets to get older and younger people, you know, into the military. I mean, it's sort of like the situation Germany was in at the end of World War II. In case you are not aware, Germany ran out of military-age men to fight. I mean, they literally had just mowed down and gone through just battalions of men in World War II. And so finally, at the end of the war, they were going after teenagers, young teenagers, 14, 15 years old. I think I might have told this once on the air before. My dad was a Ford Observer. He was a lieutenant at the time over in the Battle of the Bulge. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was just toward the end of the whole thing. Maybe the battle was over. He was a Ford Observer, but at this time he was actually manning a machine gun nest. He was, you know, he and a few guys under him were manning a machine gun nest. And they were on the border of a field. And the field, you know, it's just all wheat. It's forest around a wheat field. And my father said you were instructed as a soldier, when you got to a certain area like that, as you walked the perimeter in the woods, always stay in the woods. So he said, all of a sudden, these two young German soldiers, obviously either they're deserters or they're lost, they come walking out of the woods, and they go right in the middle of the field. And the guy on the machine gun for my father said, what do you want to do, Lieutenant? My dad looked over and he said, I couldn't believe it. He said, I see two guys walking right across the middle of a field. And they're talking like they're going back to school. You know, they were obviously kids who were just besides themselves, lost. My father said, I at that moment I knew I could end their lives in a second. I could just say, take them out.
Blink of an eye.
Yep. And he looked at him and he said, my father said, by that time I knew the war was over. We had just won the Battle of the Bulge. The Germans were on their heels. He knew it was over. Even back then, they knew the Battle of the Bulge was kind of like the last gasp of the German, you know, the German regime. And so he sees these two young guys, and he let them go. He said, I hear that story. I think of that story, and I think, I wonder how many people are alive today as a result of a decision like that, you know, where someone said, okay, we'll give him a chance. All right, it's unnecessary.
And that's one of the problems with war, because he at that point in time, he did the right thing. But there are people that go, yeah, let's take him out anyway.
Yep.
You know? So those two young kids, they didn't know it, but they had a guardian angel walking over them.
Unbelievable.
That whispered some common sense in your dad's ear.
You know, my dad said, you don't know the way they were walking, they could have been so amateur. They could have walked over the next hill and gotten killed by another group of guys.
Could have walked on a landmine.
Yeah. But the mere fact that they were walking across the middle of a field. And by the way, you know, you see these war movies and stuff like that, and all the, there were a lot of things that happened in war like that, more than you can imagine, you know, where a lot of guys had situations like that they made the right choice. You always see the wrong choice on television, you know, the wisecracking, I'm going to take them out. But not every American or Allied soldier was ruthless, you know? I mean, they I guess they valued human life. Oh, but they knew where they were. They were in the middle of a war, and they had to win it. And when guys were shooting at you, you shot back, and you made sure that they were down, not you. But, you know, there were a lot of good men who were put in a lousy situation. I look at my dad. My dad was a real good guy, yet he was put in a – he was in, like I said, the Battle of the Bulge. And
you know, and you can't imagine Well, I couldn't imagine the trauma that you go through. If you take somebody's life, that's with you forever.
Yeah.
Why do you think there's so many guys with PTSD, you know, that from the Vietnam days and whatnot?
Oh, yeah.
You're asked to do things that, you know, that you wouldn't normally do. But, you know, I guess the only, you know, maybe if you're in a plane, you know, you don't actually see the kill, you know. And maybe there's a little separation there, but I don't know. You know, that would weigh heavy on my mind.
I think what we've got to do, I hope under this new administration, and if you're listening, because you never know who's listening, if you're listening, you might encourage the president to set up an organization or a department that addresses the homeless veterans who are sleeping in the streets. You talk about PTSD. There's a lot of guys who say that they want to be on the street. No, they don't. No one wants to sleep on the street. I don't care what you say. They may think they want to sleep on the street, but you know they're confused and they're going through a lot of trauma. And I think we have to help address the issue. We have to help heal them. We just can't abandon these guys. We can't let them. And also, we're talking about some heavy stuff here, but a lot of soldiers. There's a lot of suicide, and that's because, in my opinion, we teach them how to kill, but we don't teach them how to heal. You know, we teach them all. I was in the military. I went through basic and stuff. They teach you how to, you know, break down an M16. They teach you how to fire an M16 and throw a grenade, but they don't teach you how to leave the service, especially during the Vietnam War. My God, during the Vietnam War, Bill, they abandoned them. They just dropped them off at the airport, have a good day, and there were people at the airport protesting their arrival and spitting on them and stuff like that. These guys had just come back from the jungles. A day or two before, they were in the middle of combat, and now they're in the middle of an airport. And a lot of those guys had a lot of issues. We've got to help embrace these people and to make them heal and give them a more livable life. You know, we just can't.
War is a bad thing. It's a dirty thing. Historically, we've always had to fight wars. And, you know, the trauma that goes with it.
You know,
I don't know how you heal that.
What I like about Pete Hegseth, he's a Warriors Secretary of Defense, but I think he's also going to be somebody who doesn't leave them on the street.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be a whole package there as opposed to just a partial package. Do you know? Anyway, other things we can talk about. I looked at the clock on the wall. We got carried on there a little bit. I apologize for that. This is a sad story, Bill. We talked about this at the very top of the story of our, you know, before we started the show. A January 6th protester pardoned by President Trump was killed by an Indiana police officer over the weekend.
I think it was a sheriff.
This is amazing, Bill. This is a guy who, he just got out of jail?
And he was back home. He got pulled over for some kind of traffic stop. Was he speeding? Did he forget the signal? You know, the list goes on and on. Maybe the car had a taillight that was broken, or maybe he was targeted. You know, you don't know, but apparently they say, or the police officer says, well, he was resisting arrest and it forced me to have to pull my gun and fatally shoot him. I hope he's got body cam on that. I hope he's got some evidence, you know, on that, because it sure stinks to me when you see the pictures of this guy, the January 6th thing, you know, hands down at the side, just a normal coat like you or I would wear.
Yeah.
Got a knit hat on, and he's kind of looking up at the sky, just like, oh, okay, you know, so here we are, January 6th, you know, flag flying in the background, a red, white, and blue flag, and I'm sitting here going, okay, this guy doesn't look like he's there to do anything but just be there on January 6th, and that was it. You know, and
it says here, this is a quote, an altercation took place between the suspect and the officer, which resulted in the officer firing his weapon and fatally wounding the suspect. I'll be honest with you, friends, unless the victim in this case, had a gun or a knife. I don't know what the reason would be that this guy would pull a gun and shoot him.
You know, I don't want to say good cop, bad cop, but there are, and maybe somebody, because people let their politics get in the way of, you know, just humanity. And I do know, I had a friend one time, and he goes, "You always need self-defense." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he goes, "Well, you know, if you're going to do something, always have something to throw down. You know, police do, like it could be a little pocket knife or something like that. So if they're engaged, at least they have a defense." Now, that was before body cams and stuff like that. But the point is, you know, why was the guy stopped? And what do you say? Because there's no mention of any weapon there. So if with nothing mentioned now, anything afterwards sounds to me like it's after the facts and it's a cover-up story. Well, I gotta make myself. Yeah, he had a gun. Yeah, he had a knife. Well, that should have been, you know, right from the get-go. There should be proof of that, you know. And maybe there is. I don't know.
Well, you know? I don't have all the facts. Nobody does. They're investigating. I think he did say, though, that this was a, like you say, it was a Jasper County Sheriff's deputy that did the shooting. And I think they said that they have handed it off to the Indiana State Police for investigation, so which is the proper thing to do. They'll be impartial. But he, you know, he's suspended with pay. That means he's put on vacation, you know, while the investigation continues.
Look, he's a police officer.
Right.
He does need to carry a gun, but I usually don't recall, I'm not saying they don't, but I don't recall sheriff, deputies, pulling people over for traffic violations.
Well, this was Indiana. I don't know what they do.
Who knows? Yeah, I don't know. I, you know, don't know their jurisdiction, don't know their laws.
Got an interesting little tidbit to Trump yesterday announced something really interesting, and this just caught my ear. He wants to build over the United States a dome of protection, an iron dome, a protection dome. Listen.
And in a little while, I'll be signing four new executive orders. First is that I'm directing our new Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, who's going to be great, by the way. Thank you for the support. Thank you very much for the support. You really did support him greatly. I think he's going to be fantastic. I know him very well. I think he's going to be fantastic. He's what we need to immediately begin the construction of a state-of-the-art Iron Dome missile defense shield, which will be able to protect Americans. You know, we protect other countries, but we don't protect ourselves. And when Ronald Reagan wanted to do it many years ago, luckily we didn't. We didn't have the technology then. It was a concept, but we didn't. Now we have phenomenal technology. You see that with Israel. We're out of 319 rockets. They knocked down just about every one of them. So I think the United States is entitled to that. And everything will be made right here in the USA, 100%. The next, to ensure that we have the most lethal fighting force in the world, we will get transgender ideology the hell out of our military. It's going to be gone. In addition, we will stop our service members from being indoctrinated with radical left ideologies such as critical race theory. We're going to stop it. It's already been stopped. It's already been halted, totally halted. And finally, we will offer full reinstatement to any service member who was expelled from the armed forces due to the COVID vaccine mandate. And we will restore them to their former rank with full pay.
Okay, a lot of stuff there, but the Iron Dome thing was interesting. And I was thinking, you know, the Iron Dome, especially the one in Israel, is designed to take out traditional missiles. But you, Bill, as well as I, know that Russia has announced that they've moved to a new platform, the hypersonic missile, which it's here before you know it. And I think they know this. I think we have the technology. I don't think we'll be using missiles to knock down missiles. I think we're going to be using directed energy to take down these missiles, incoming missiles. See, right now, like the Patriot missile system would be part of the Iron Dome, which would be a missile against a missile. You see it coming in on radar. You hone in on it. You fire a missile at the missile, and you hope to knock it out. But now they have this technology, and it's pretty out there, pretty well developed. It's called directed energy. Energy pulse. Some people call it the rods of God. You may have heard that term before.
Mm.
But essentially, it's like a laser. And they hone in on it, and I guess they hit it with an impulse, and it's done. And
well,
what do you think?
Well, I think it's a possibility. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on as far as the rods of God go. I would think that would be something great in satellite technology. Now, once we were talking about putting missiles up in space, there was a treaty against that, mm-hmm. that we don't do that. That's why there's no platforms up there. But there is software. We talked about it probably a year ago. Software that's been developed that is so good and so fast. But I think Biden gave away the technology that other people have it. But in other words, it detects if there's any threat, any launch anywhere, and it can sit there and hit it with a barrage, and it can hit several different targets all at once, you know, with that. So,
on the ground? You know,
It can direct anything from the ground, air, or anywhere.
I heard somebody say that we have the technology to take out missiles in the silo.
Probably.
And that would probably be a laser type situation. You know, whether they can actually direct an energy pulse onto a, they see the doors open up on a silo, but see, here's the thing. We're not going to be attacked by silo missiles, I don't think. We're going to be attacked by missiles on the back of tractor trailers and missiles on submarines.
Yeah. Now, number one, you know, we talk about EMPs and things like that, electromagnetic pulses.
Right.
You can protect hardware from that kind of hit. You got to wonder if any kind of rods of God beam would do it. You would have to have something pretty powerful that would just target, hit, and destroy, that they don't have a defense for yet. And again, AI software, targeting software, is key to this too. So I don't think we know everything that's out there. As far as silo-based missiles, I would still keep them and keep them maintained along with everything else, because if you go into all-out war, I would be throwing everything I had, you know. Sophisticated and non-sophisticated.
Some people say that some of the fires that have been started recently have been done intentionally, but by rods of God type energy pulses. I don't know.
No.
Everybody has a theory, but...
You brought up the coast thing, all right? And, you know, the winds blow in from the coast and blow across. And they say, well, these were sparks that started it. So the sparks came off the ocean, hit there on the shorelines and then burned inwards?
No, they didn't actually. They came, I think they said that the winds came in high and hit the hills and kind of swirled back off the hills.
Yeah.
The wind came off the ocean. This is what they're saying. And did, you know, hit the hills along the shore and, you know, sent it in a back 180 degrees. Down the hill.
It could have, I don't know. I mean, it just seems that it's so widespread and random. Where it's hitting, and then now you got San Diego that's got fires. Now, I don't know what took place with all the rains that came in, if that helped quell some of the fires, or they're still popping up. You know, it's bad. Yeah, we mentioned yesterday, boy, all they need now is an earthquake offshore, and there is that volcano that is out in the Pacific that's getting ready to go. They go, could go any day now, could go any week, might be month, but it's going to happen. Which, when that blows, not only is going to put crap in the air that could possibly rain down and start fires along the West Coast, but also could sit there and cause a big wave, maybe a little further up north.
What's interesting, folks, is that this is only the beginning of the second week of his administration. I know it seems like he's been in office a lot longer, but literally a week ago yesterday, he took the oath of office, and think of what's happened over the past week. The guy is just, he's relentless. He's like the ever-ready bunny. Just keeps going. You see where Tucker Carlson's son, Buckley, is joining the Trump administration? The appointment was reported by ABC News, who revealed that he will take the role of deputy press secretary to J.D. Vance. I think he's 27 years old.
I think it's a great gig for the kid. So, and I'm looking at the youth of J.D. Vance, and I'm looking at that youth there.
That's the future.
I think the Democrats are upset that they don't have that youth base.
Yeah.
You know, they thought that they had them. But kids are pretty smart in the fact that, and they've seen what's going on, and they saw that the Democrats didn't give a rat's ass about them.
Yeah.
So a lot of them have, I don't know that it's conservative value. They have values. You know, I wouldn't call them Republicans per se. But then again, a lot of people that are in the conservative movement, they just want mainstream values again. Restore America to, you know, some kind of normalcy.
Score and, another victory for President Trump. Scott Bessent was confirmed as the 79th treasurer of the U.S. yesterday.
Yeah.
So that's good news. They're saying that Tulsi Gabbard may run into trouble with Susan Collins.
Yeah. Because if you get the vote is so, you know, right down the middle, one rhino will do it, and she's the one. She's basically saying she ain't going to do it. And I'm going, what the hell does that so-so want? You know, the Democrats don't want Tulsi because she abandoned the party. You know, so everything that they're saying, she's not, that are accusing her of, because if she were that, she would have been accused of that when she was on the Democratic side. But she sat there and took a step back and said, I don't want to be a part of this party anymore. It doesn't stand for what I stand for. RFK Jr.
Yeah.
Is, you know, up for it. But, you know, Bill Gates and, what is it, the Legacy Company Foundation, throwing all kinds of fake crap out there that's made up and signatures.
A bunch of false signatures. Unbelievable.
Like, but 27,000 or 17,000 or 20. There was a seven in there. It was in the, you know, thousands.
You know, the one they're going to go after, I really think, they keep saying Tulsi. I think it's going to be Kash Patel. I think they're going to try definitely to tear him down. He's a tough kid. I say kid. He's a kid to me. He's a tough young man.
But they're going to go for that trifecta, because that trifecta there is a powerful trifecta. And RFK Jr.'s ideas and policies are already starting to take hold. And they really hate that because it doesn't match their agenda. I think they better hurry up and do the executive order to release everything on JFK, RFK, and Martin Luther, because I think it's not for a distraction, but I think once the media dives into that, they'll have a different feeling about the government.
Are we going to hear anything about those drones over New Jersey?
Nope.
You know, we were promised, Trump said we'd find out. But, of course, it's only, like I said, the second week, so maybe I'm being pushing too hard here.
You got to look at everything that he's got to do, and everybody's got an agenda of their wants and desires, and it just... He's got so much to do, it would almost take two terms to do it, which is why he's probably going so fast at, you know, rocket pace speed. I'm looking for something here on my computer. There's a guy that, what was his name? He was the guy that from Florida, he had a TV series, the Lion Guy, whatever he was called. Tiger King. He was mad. He goes, once again, I've been looked over a pardon again, sad face. I guess he asked in the first term. His condition, his thing is, look, you know, somebody I didn't know was an undercover person. I was kidding around when I said, yeah, somebody ought to go, ha ha, take her out. Well, that was a stupid thing to say, you know, but, you know, Trump goes, I didn't know anything about this, but yeah, I'll take a look at it. But which will cause, you know, an uproar if he did do something like that.
I see where Trump's Department of Justice has gone scorched earth on Jack Smith's team, those team of investigators. I think that's not unexpected. You know, Smith resigned about 3 weeks ago, I guess Trump has gone in and said, "Look at anybody associated with Jack Smith and that investigation, I want out of the Justice Department." Plain and simple. I don't blame him. And if you were in the Justice Department and you took that case, or you you weaseled your way onto that staff, and then all of a sudden now you're upset because you may lose your job. You should have figured that out before you took the job. That was a hot plate issue, and that was people thought, Bill, people thought Trump didn't have a shot. They didn't think he had a snowball's chance in hell to be president of the United States. And I find that amazing. This guy is a guy who his only success, his only reason for being is winning. You hear the answer he gave the other day when he was told that Pete Hegseth got nominated, confirmed to be the Department of the Secretary of Defense. You know, the reporter said, well, did you hear that J.D. Vance, he cast the tie-breaking vote? It was 50-50. And Trump said, no, I didn't hear that. No, but hey, look, he won, and winning's what it's all about. That's yep. Trump. That sums Trump up in a nutshell. Winning is what it's all about. He doesn't care how he wins so long as he wins. You know, he doesn't have a lot of room in his area for people who lose, you know. Mm. So it's interesting. So we're going to see more and more people. Also, Trump U.S. Attorney Ed Martin, who is a decent guy, from what I understand, I've followed him on X for a few years, he initiated a probe into Biden U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves on lawful use of the 1512 obstruction charges to lock up January 6 people. He's looking into how the Justice Department justified summarily putting January 6ers in jail. A lot of them, by the way, without due process. You know, just we'll put you there and then we'll think about it for a while. I think there were some people, Bill, who were in jail for 4 years who didn't get that due process. They kept waiting and waiting and waiting, mm-hmm. and nothing happened.
Yeah, this is going to be a problem for a while. You know, yeah. and the people on the left are going to push hard against the J6ers. So I feel bad for them.
Also, this is interesting. You like this. You know, it's like I said, it's only been a week. Google will be updating its maps in line with yeah. Donald Trump's proposed name changes. He has proposed that Denali, that mountain, would be Mount McKinley again. And he also mm-hmm. had proposed that the Gulf of Mexico would be the Gulf of America. And the left pushed back, oh, that'll never happen. Oh, we'll never take that into consideration. Well, Google said, yeah, we'll do it. So Google's on board with the changes, and that's coming down the road soon. Also, Jim Acosta. You heard about mm-hmm. this, Bill? Jim Acosta from CNN, they say he's reportedly out.
Yeah.
Some people are saying he resigned. Some people are saying he was pushed to resign, meaning he really was fired, but they gave him a chance to do something, you know, face-saving. I'm resigning, yes. Is this the pen you want me to hold? Yes.
Know what? When you get let go from a company, you know, we want you just to resign. You know, I can tell you right now, when you're looking for a job and you left a job and you have nothing, you have nothing going on, they know you got fired. So let them fire you so you get whatever benefits you got that you can get, because the bottom line is everybody knows, and unless you've got a pipeline that you built and you were looking for a job when, you know, before that happened, you're going to be on the bench for a little while. And so you may as well just sit there. I mean, it's not a badge of dishonor to be fired. It is probably for him because of, you know, his left-leaning things and, you know, what they were doing.
Acosta thought he could make a name for himself by being the self-appointed, as they say, self-appointed anti-Trump resistance at CNN. Mm-hmm. And for a while he had it. You'll remember the scene at the White House press conference where he wouldn't sit down. Trump said, mm-hmm. I'm done. Sit down. And he would not sit down. He was defiant. He was trying to be Sam Donaldson. Remember Sam Donaldson during Watergate or something, where he made it, or was it during the Nixon? Whatever it was, Sam Donaldson was obstinate, and he made a name for himself by being obstinate. And I think this Acosta figured, well, I'll do the same thing Donaldson did. Well, for a while it might have worked. He got a bit of a name, but he didn't know when to stop. This guy doesn't know when to stop. He, you know, Trump's back in office, and he's all of a sudden he's trying to be that same guy again. And the people at CNN who run it are saying, look, we have no ratings anymore. You guys have killed the network. We want to change course. We want to be more of a mainstream news organization again, and we want you to stop being a critic of the president. This guy couldn't stop. This guy doesn't know how to stop. So I guess he's going to be out of work.
Sometimes the talent's ego is bigger than their job. And they end up out on the, well, they end up where he is, out of a job.
Yeah. You see, Bill, where President Trump's inauguration last week set viewership records with an estimated 80.7 million viewers. Yeah. 80.7 million viewers. That's a lot of people watching the tube.
Yeah.
Anyway, we could go on. Anything you want to add to today's?
No, I was just I was looking up something here, but there's no story to relate to it, so I'll save it in my archives there. No, there's really not. I expect a lot going on with the DEI changes. I expect to see a change with Rachel Levine here, because I don't think anything's happened with him yet. He likes to say her.
Is he still in office, Bill? Is he still sitting
there? Yeah, that's what I was looking up, and I guess he is. I mean, maybe he's got to wear pants to work now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Cut your hair. Wear some pants. You know, look your part.
This is a guy, Bill, who was...
I'll get flack for saying that even.
Well, no, this is a guy who was 53, at 53 years old, decided to make the change. I think he is the father of some sons. Obviously a great role model.
Yeah, he's got kids and that. You know, I know a guy in radio that did that, you know, and I mean, almost went to work for him one time. I didn't know. Still a good friend, but I'm like going, I don't say anything. Don't even dare talk about it because we're on two different pages there. And I'm just like, but, you know, that's his thing. But he's not making decisions for people. I mean, that guy is just in radio. Yeah, play this record instead of that record. Okay, you know. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a different thing.
You know what decision you can make? You can make a decision as to what cup of coffee to drink. You know that. You can drink a mediocre, bland cup of coffee, or you can have a rich, flavorful cup of Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. It's delicious. It's made with the finest, I want to say Colombian. Colombia. You better get it while you can. Colombian hey, coffee beans. And we blend it, and it's just a fantastic cup of coffee. And you can buy it at rightsideshop.com, rightsideshop.com. Or, like Bill said, go to our website, itsanotherday.com.
Easy.
And there's a button up there. You just hit the button, it'll take you right to it.
Yep, on the menu bar, rightsideshop.com. Up there. Well, it doesn't say .com, it says Right Side Shop. Just click it, and you're in.
And it's a great cup of coffee. Bill drinks it. Bill likes it. He also says it's health food, so which I think is great.
You know, when I say it does a body and a heart good, it actually does. There's studies that have been going on for over 10 years, and it's conclusive that it does help. You know, moderation, 2 to 4 cups a day.
Yeah,
and primarily in the morning because it has something to do with your body, and how it reacts to different things. And in the morning, it looks for that caffeine and the antioxidants in it and whatnot.
Well, I want you to know that Juan Jose and the Border Crossers have their Right Side Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee every morning, which gives them the zing they need to sing our jingle the way they sing it, like this.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
I mean, if you heard them try to sing the song without the coffee, it would be a waltz, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they have the coffee, and it's peppy, it's up, it's bright, it's healthy, it's great. Try it, will you? It's at rightsideshop.com.
We would appreciate it.
We would indeed. By the way, we don't become rich with the profits from that. We get a portion of the profits. We're going to put it towards promotion. Hey, I should point out, by the way, first of all, it's probably kind of obvious. I got allergies this time of year, cold, whatever. I apologize for that. But a lot of us do. A lot of you guys have it too. So thank you for bearing with me. Also, tomorrow the show may be a little later posting because I'll be honest with you. I have a doctor's appointment I got to go to. I know it's nothing major. It's brain.
He's got a hangnail, friends.
It's brain surgery, and they're not gonna find anything.
Won't find anything up there. Trust me.
Yes. No. It's just I have to go to a doctor early, so our show won't get recorded till later on in the morning tomorrow, and be posted later. So bear with us. You will get it tomorrow. And other than that, my friend, I think that's a wrap. We can put a fork in it because we're done.
We'll get the fork out to stick in it. I only have one thing to say.
What's that?
And that is, hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.